Good evening. I trust you're doing well and you had a restful afternoon. There are no notes tonight, if you do not know already. We tried our best, myself and Miss Jane and Pastor Jack, to print them, but it's a spiritual warfare, folks. The internet for some of us is messed up, and we could not connect to the copier, so I'm going to do my best to be extra clear tonight. And I'm going to ask you to do your best to listen well tonight. And possibly when we go from point to point, if they'll just leave it on the wall for just a few extra seconds. If you want to take notes, you can get that. Got your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Title of tonight's message is kind of long, but it's talking about a saint who is thankful for God and the saints. You know, we as Christians have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We do. I mean, one, you know, we have health, we have life. Many of you have your families right here. I know I'm thankful for my family. I tell you, the main reason I was driven back to this passage last week was because of our VBS. And I was just so thankful for our church. One, being able to offer VBS. Two, for the amount of teachers and workers that stepped forward and said, you know what, I'll be a part of that. I'll partner with one another so that we can advance the gospel. And I'm going to tell you what, the mission field of our children is a great mission field. It is one that we dare not look over, all right? So it was a great mission field. So I was just thankful for that. I was thankful for the children, the parents that brought their children. A lot to be thankful for. Today, again, thankful for the opportunity to come and to worship. I think if we're not careful, we can take that for granted. Thankful for my family. Thankful for lunch. Hey, at lunch, I had a great meal. It was a meat lover's Mexican meal, all right? I don't know what you call it. We wind up at a Mexican restaurant with the Gills, and I followed Steve Gill's lead, and it was meat upon meat upon meat upon meat. All right, and it was clean, all right? I thank the Lord for it. I'm thankful. And we too should be a thankful people. And tonight in our passage, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 is what I want to cover. We see a man by the name of Apostle Paul who is thankful. He is a Christian who shows his gratitude for the Lord, for the people of the Lord, for the work of the Lord, for the things that are going on in the Lord's, the people's lives. So beginning at verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he, that is speaking of God, or Christ, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. So tonight, as we go through this passage, I want our church to one, I want us to love the gospel, I want us to love one another, and I want us to continue to partner in the gospel. And that's what Paul is teaching us. So there's five exhortations for the thankful Christian. Are you a thankful Christian tonight? Are you a Christian that has gratitude and joy? The Apostle Paul, the joy is bubbling up. It's overflowing. And I just want to leave us with five exhortations. The first one is this. Thank God for the ability to remember. Now, it's very simple, but I think we need to thank God for the ability to remember. There may come a day where you may not be able to recall. All right, there are times my wife will give me a list that I make a mental list out of. Guess what? Most of it I don't remember. I don't recall perfectly. But I think we need to thank God for the ability to remember. In other letters, Paul talks about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, verse 4, but he talks about thanking God for the believers, the saints at Corinth. The same thing in Colossians. He's thanking God for the saints at Colossae. All right, Paul's thanksgiving here. He's thanking God. He's remembering the saints. And his thanksgiving is directed toward God. See, we, like Paul, should be thankful to God for other Christians in our lives. Are you thankful for us? Even the ones that get on your nerves a little bit, all right? They're out there. I might be one of them. Be thankful for me, please. I'll be thankful for you. All right? We are to be thankful for one another. Verse 3 here, it says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Now, it can be taken in a couple different ways. It can be taken as Paul is thankful for the Philippians remembering him, or Paul is saying he is thankful for the remembrance he has of them. It can be taken both ways. There are scholars that take it either way. Here's what we need to note. Paul is thankful for the Christians in Philippi. And every time he thinks about them, he thanks God. He recalls them, the recollection of the saints. He remembers them. So Paul is saying he's thankful for the remembrance he has for them. Bottom line, Paul says, thank you, God. I thank my God for you all. Is that us? How many times do we say, God, I thank you for the saints at Tar Landing. I thank you for the saints that I bump shoulders with at work or at the local hobby shop or whatever you may be involved in. I thank God for them. See, the object of Paul's thanksgiving and prayer was all the saints at Philippi. See, it's a joy to recall the goodness of people. It's a joy to remember the sweet memories we have of others. Now, Paul was not put up in the Hilton here. Paul, in context, was in Rome in prison, under house arrest. Paul had a tough situation going, yet he was still thankful. He was still a man of gratitude and joy, and he thanked God for the saints at Philippi. What about you right now? Are you thankful for the remembrance of the saints? Do you enjoy remembering? I'm not talking about the saints that have gone before you, although that's certainly included here. I'm talking about now. Thinking about the saints. Me and my family, we enjoy going to Mississippi. And between the times of going, I always think about them. I recall them. I remember them. It is such a precious thing to have those memories. Well, folks, we need to remember one another. We need to thank God for the ability to remember. Paul does here. Number two, the second exhortation I want to leave with you tonight. Delight in the privilege to intercede in prayer for others. Delight in the privilege to intercede in prayer for others. You know, it is a duty, yes, to pray for others, but it is a privilege to pray one for another. When was the last time you prayed for someone else other than your family? Could have been today, could have been just a little bit ago. But it is a privilege to do that. We need to thank God for the privilege, the joy of praying for one another. This is the joy of making a petition. That's the word he uses there. Making a petition for others. It is asking God for something for someone else. When is the last time you asked God for something for someone else, not yourself? It should be our joy. It should be our delight to do that. Many of you this past week were teachers or workers at VBS. You prayed for those other teachers and workers. You prayed for those children and youth that came, that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of those that didn't physically volunteer and serve, you prayed for them. I thank you for that. It should be our delight to pray that the gospel goes forth. To pray for the needs of others. It is a joy to pray for one another. It should be, right? All right. So making a request for others to God is an element of joy. Do you delight in interceding for others? Is it your delight? Is it your joy? It was Paul's. Look at verse 4. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Note Paul's prayer for the Philippians. Number one, it was frequent. We see that in verse 4. Always in every prayer. How frequently do we pray for one another? Are you like me? Odds are I may not remember very much of what was just listed on that prayer request list. How frequent do we pray for one another? Oh, it should be our delight to pray for one another. Notice not only was it frequent, but it was for them, what does it say? All. Have you noticed in this passage how many times the word all is mentioned? Just in verses 3 through 8. In the ESV, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. All. Now, Paul may have not known all the saints in Philippi by name, but he prayed for them all. You may not know everybody's name in here. Oh, but it should be a delight of ours to pray for all. It was frequent. He prayed for them all. And not only that, though, his prayer was filled with joy, and it filled his joy. So he was joyful as he prayed, but note here at the very end of verse 4, making my prayer with joy, that it was his joy to pray for them, but also his joy to know that the church at Philippi was praying for him. Now, in context, the church at Philippi had taken up a collection to help Paul, and they had sent that collection, that offering, to Paul by Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus arrives in Rome, giving him that offering, saying, "This is what the people did for you." And of course, Paul was exceedingly happy to receive Epaphroditus, not just the offering, but to hear of the report of the church at Philippi. Oh, it brought Paul great joy to hear how the church at Philippi was growing in their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul joyously prayed for the church at Philippi, but he was also filled with joy as he was praying for the church at Philippi. A well-known commentator says, prayer transcends the barriers that divide people. Think about that. Is there a division between you and someone else tonight, especially a Christian? You want to know how to knock down that wall of division? Pray for them. You may not knock down the wall in their heart, but I guarantee you God is able to knock down the wall in your heart. Pray for them. Prayer transcends the barriers that divide people. The Apostle Paul, it was his delight to pray. Is it our delight to pray for one another? Do we all realize that we are in a spiritual battle? Spiritual warfare. Now look, I know it was a small thing, but the internet didn't work this afternoon. Guess what? The internet here at the church in the offices did not work last Sunday afternoon before VBS. And we had a difficult time getting the stuff up to the sound booth that needed to be there for VBS. I came in Monday morning and guess what was working just fine? The internet. Had no problem. Turned the computer on, connected right up. Now, I'm not superstitious. We're in a spiritual battle. There's another spiritual battle going on in another place. And it's among a group of people trying to go on a mission trip. For whatever reason, right now, they're unable to go. It should be our delight to intercede for them. So, I'm going to break all the rules of preaching 101. I'm going to interrupt the sermon. And I want us to pray for them. And I haven't called on this brother previously. Maybe I should have. But I'm going to ask Brother Bob Peel. And I know he's deep in the text. Would you pause right now and would you pray? He doesn't know all their names. Would you pray for those young folks that are trying to go? It's Austin and Scotia. That for whatever reason, they're not able to get where they need to be. And God is in control. Would you pause and would you just say a prayer for them? That if it be God's will, that he would get them there. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. See, that should be our joy. I want to challenge you tonight. Will you pray for them? We don't know all the circumstances. The Lord does. And he's sovereign. And it should be our delight to intercede for one another. The third exhortation I want to leave us with tonight. rejoice in the opportunity to partner with others in the gospel. Look at verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is so delighted that the Philippians have partnered with him in the gospel. Paul rejoiced over their partnership. Now, the basis of Paul's joy here is their partnership in the gospel. And we know that the gospel was Paul's singular passion. Paul's passion was Christ. And if you'll look here at verse 5 again, it says, because of your partnership. Or you could translate that fellowship, because that's the word, koinonia, in the Greek. It's the same word. And it can be taken as fellowshipping with one another or partnering with one another. And here it carries the idea of Paul and the Philippians participating in something together. And that is the furtherance of the gospel. And that word is used that way in several places throughout Scripture. And we won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 12, it talks about how they are to contribute together. That word contribute is partnership, koinonia. It's used in a different way. Oh, Paul is thankful for their partnership. Hey, this past week, this church partnered together to do VBS. But you know, as a church, we also partner with others. We partner with missionaries, don't we? There are times we partner with other churches. Not to make our name known, not to make the missionary's name known, not to make the other church's name known, to make Christ's name known. We didn't hold VBS this week so that the community would know who Tar Landing Baptist Church is. Although that would be good if they do. I pray they will. We held VBS this week to plant the seed of Jesus Christ in the hearts of young people, to water the seed that has been planted, to make Christ's name known. See, we need to rejoice in every opportunity we have to partner with others in the gospel. These things don't just happen. God's providence brings us about to partner with one another. And he quantifies their partnership. What does he say here in verse 5? He begins with, from the first day. He's talking about their conversion. He says, when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, at your conversion, you begin to partner with me in the gospel. And then he goes on to say, until now, present day. So from their conversion to the present time, Paul is saying, you have partnered with me in the gospel. Paul rejoiced over their salvation and their partnership in the gospel. Now, he was certainly happy over the offering, the gift that they had given him. But he cherished their partnership more than the gift. See, it is an occasion to rejoice when we can come alongside one another for the advance of the gospel. Rejoice in the opportunity to partner with others in the gospel. The fourth exhortation I would give the thankful Christian. Confidently anticipate your promised future in Christ. Confidently anticipate your promised future in Christ. Look at verse 6, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Paul says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's confidence is in who? Christ. His confidence is in God. It's not in the people at Philippi. It's not in Paul. It's not in you. It's not in I. It's in God. Walter Hansen in his commentary says, the nature of joy is confidence in God who begins and finishes his good work. Oh, there is a certain future that you and I have promised in Christ, and we can confidently anticipate it. It will happen. See, God in the church at Philippi, in the hearts of those individuals there, God began a work of salvation. And God will complete what he starts. Now, if you're like me, you have one, maybe two unfinished projects at home. Okay, all right. Let me confess, I have more than two. I have more than three. I have many. Matter of fact, in our laundry room, one of the girls, just yesterday, I believe it was, or a day or so ago, said, "When is Daddy ever going to finish the laundry room?" It had a little bit of a leak back at Hurricane Florence, okay? I'm a little behind. It's not leaking anymore, but I haven't done the inside repair, right? Oh, see, I've started some things, but I haven't finished them. What God starts, God completes. And here in verse 6, he's saying, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, that salvation that he began, he will bring it to completion." You know, as saved Christians, we are saved now, in the present, and we will be saved in the future. All right? So God will complete that. This good work is salvation. It's the work of grace in our lives. So Paul is grateful for their partnership in the gospel, but he's also grateful for their salvation through the gospel. And he's reminding them here in verse 6 of this sure future they have. Do you know, as a Christian, you have a sure future? And Paul is reminding us of it. He's saying, look, we can, with confidence, we can anticipate the future that has been promised to us in Christ Jesus. Now, if you got nothing else to be thankful for, that's something to be thankful for, right? You cannot secure your own future. Just ask thousands of people that had the majority of their stock in a company called Enron. Wasn't that its name? What happened? One day, their future was very secure, right? They had all the money they could handle. The next day, what? They're eating Beanie Weenies with me. Their future wasn't secure. Oh, but if our future is secure in Christ, no one can take that away. And that's what Paul's pointing out here. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ, when Christ returns. Listen to this long quote here by Gordon Fee. I'm not sure if it'll be on the wall. But speaking of Paul, it says, "His confidence is that their lifelong participation in the gospel from the beginning until now will continue until the day of Christ. But this confidence has very little to do with them and everything to do with God, who both began a good work in them and will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. Thus, having reminded them of his own joy over their good past and present, he turns now to assure them of their own certain future." Paul is reminding them of their certain future in Christ, but he's also reminding them that, hey, look, I want you to think of it this way. What God began in you, in the partnership that God has spurred on, God will see it through. Oh, folks, we need to confidently anticipate our promised future with Christ. Number 5, though, the fifth exhortation I would leave with you tonight. Love one another with a deep affection that is rooted in Christ. Love one another with a deep affection that is rooted in Christ. Look at verses 7 and 8. Paul is saying, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Paul's heart is gushing right now. He's affectionate over the church at Philippi and the believers. And he uses a word here, the word feel, that carries the idea of more than an emotion or feeling. It's really an idea of thinking. It's thinking or feeling a certain way about someone. This is a deep reflection that he's having here. This isn't just some feeling that comes and goes. No, he's really thinking deep, affectionate thoughts for other believers. Do you and I do that? Do we think affectionately about one another? I mean, really, do we love one another? And he talks about loving right here in verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. Now, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, this would have been spoken of the bowels, way deep down, the gut. Oh, Paul has this deep down affection for other believers. Do we? Do we have this deep down love for one another? And he goes on in verse 7 to say that my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. He's talking about that grace of God. And he's speaking both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn. There's that word of affection, of love for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Oh, we are called to love one another with a deep affection that is rooted in Christ. Do we love one another? Paul loved the saints. Do we love the saints, the brethren? Five exhortations tonight for us. I pray in some way you've been blessed through these. I pray in some way your affections have been stirred for God, for the gospel, for the saints. Let's pray.